Genesis chapter number 1, we're going to read verse number 28. The Bible says, "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So this morning's sermon is going to be the first part of a series. And this is going to be a multi-part series. I'm going to be preaching on the family. This may just be it may just be dual part. There may only be two particular, episodes or installments to it. But it is going to be a multi-part. There's a couple of sermons that I want to preach on the subject of the family, strengthening the Christian home, strengthening the family. The title of the sermon this morning is Be Fruitful and Multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. So I want to start off by saying this. This is a very sensitive subject. Obviously, this is a subject where there's a lot of debate. There's a lot of disagreement. But my job is to preach the Bible. Whether or not you get offended, whether or not you don't get offended, my job is to stand up here and preach what the Bible says. And if I don't preach on a subject because it may offend you, I'm not doing my job. My job is to preach the Word of God to you so that you are capable of making the right decisions in your life and helping you further understand what the Scriptures teach on this subject. There was a time in which where I studied this subject out and I had a different view of what I believe today. This was earlier on in my Christianity. I studied different sides of the equation and I actually fell on a different side of where I stand on this now. At that time, and I want to make this statement, when I had heard sermons from the opposing view, I distinctly remember being extremely offended by what I had heard. I distinctly remember, feeling, very offended and feeling, very disgruntled about the message that I had heard. But there was a time later on when I did the study for myself and I clearly saw what the Bible taught on this subject. And I repented of that view or what I had thought that the Bible taught on that, and I changed my position. So what I want to tell everyone this morning is this. Whatever position that you have on this particular doctrine, make sure that it's not a position of convenience. Make sure that it's not a position of comfort. Make sure that it's not a position of maybe just what you were taught previously, or maybe something that that maybe is just compelled or influenced by our culture today and how people operate today. We are Christians. We need to go to the Word of God to see how we are supposed to live our lives when it comes to any manner of subject or whatever area of life that it is. So I'm going to be preaching about bringing forth children, how many children we should have, and particularly I'm going to be focusing on shortly on the phrase, specifically that commandment and that phrase, be fruitful and multiply. Now, first off, I want to start off very broad and basic, both. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14. Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14. Now, I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23. This first statement, I'm sure everyone would agree with, abortion is murder. Abortion is murder. The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23 is quoting Isaiah 7:14, and it says this, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," and so forth and so forth. I want to focus on that phrase in Matthew 1:23 that says this, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." That's actually quoting Isaiah 7:14, and the Bible says this in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." So I want you to notice in Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14, it says, it makes the statement, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." That exact phrase is quoted in the New Testament, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it tells you that a virgin shall be with child. So do you know what happens at the moment of conception? A child is brought about. A life is brought about. Conceiving is the moment where life begins, where a child comes into existence. That is where life begins according to the Bible. Therefore, if that life is terminated by any means from the point of conception, from the point of the child being brought into this world in that sense, right? That is murder. If that life is purposely terminated, that is murder. Now, of course, the obvious example of this is abortion. You know, it's very clearly murder. I'm sure everyone here would agree with that. You know, that's very plain, that's very obvious. The other point that I want to make, though, that not a lot of people are aware of, is that birth control pills, which are commonly taken today, Baptists will take them. You know, the church that I grew up into, I know that there were ladies in the church, you know, married women, of course, that were on birth control pills. There are methods, and actually most birth control methods and pills that are available at stores today in the United States of America. A lot of people don't know this, but they actually cause early abortions and silent abortions. I want to go over a couple of ways in which that this takes place that people are not aware of it. So there are three basic methods of birth control pills. And the way that they operate, they use different types of hormones and stuff like that, and actually the way that they work. Now, two of the ways do not cause, just these two methods, that is, they do not cause an abortion, if you will. They do not terminate, a life. The first two ways, number one, is that it prevents the seed from fertilizing the egg. That is one way, obviously. If the seed has not, penetrated the egg or fertilized the egg, no life has been brought about. That is the definition of conception. We would all agree with that. When the seed penetrates the egg, that is the moment of conception. That is when life begins, right? And at that moment, scientifically, they know that that's when it starts multiplying and growing. It's clearly life, obviously. The Bible has great science in it. So that right there, obviously, that's not, that method is not murder. When, if it just prevents the seed from penetrating the egg, that is not, of course, terminating, a life or a child in that sense. So number two, the other way is that it causes the woman just to not release eggs. So if there's no egg, obviously there is no egg that can be penetrated. Therefore, the seed cannot, conceive within the egg. So that is the other method, right? The third method, and this is the most common that is used, and I'm going to get into how the birth control pills work just very briefly. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. The third method is actually where it terminates the life. What happens is the seed finds an egg that it penetrates or that it fertilizes. And at that point, obviously, if you're aware of how the process works scientifically, the egg then travels up the fallopian tube and then it makes its way to the uterus. When it gets into the uterus, if you're familiar with the embryonic sac and everything, it's connected to the uterine wall. So that egg tries to attach itself to the uterine wall within the uterus. What these birth control pills do is they cause hormones to be released, and it creates a hostile environment within the uterus that prevents the egg from attaching itself inside of the uterine wall. You know what it's doing is it's killing off that life and not allowing it to implant itself inside of the uterus. That's why it's hostile. It's basically, in a sense, this isn't exactly right, but it's basically poisoning the life. It's killing off the life. It's causing a hostile environment where it's not able to survive. It is living. That's why they have to, they have to step in and intervene with this life, and then they terminate the life. That is murder. There are a lot of birth control pills that operate this way. That is murder according to the Bible, because are we Bible believers this morning? Amen? We're Bible believers, right? Okay, well, if you're a Bible believer, then according to Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23, and Isaiah 7:14, when does life begin? The moment of conception. When is conception? When the seed penetrates the egg. So you agree that that is a living child, according to the Bible. That is a child. So if that egg is purposely prevented by a person that has engineered this method to literally terminate that life, what did he do? What did that person do? They took part in murder. And obviously, the woman that would be taking these pills would be doing it as well. Unawares, oftentimes, it's inadvertently, they're not aware that that is what they are doing. It would be, like a form of manslaughter. It's obviously not the same as first degree murder, but even still, it is murder. It's killing a human life, a child, according to the Bible. Now, if you weren't aware of that, now you are. So now if you go forth and you do that anyways, that is first degree murder. That is murder, first degree manslaughter. So this is what the Bible teaches. This is what we believe. We believe the Bible word for word. We believe it literally. We believe what the Bible says. Birth control pills are, they come in different, different types of Oh, I mentioned the three methods. Let me do this. So I mentioned the three methods. There are types of pills that you can buy that only do the last method that I just mentioned, where it just creates the hostile environment and doesn't allow the conceived life to survive within the uterus. That exists. There are also some types that primarily use the type that stops the female from the, it will prevent their ovaries from releasing eggs. Oftentimes, that particular method has a redundancy. And do you know what it is? Just in case your body does release eggs, because it's not, it's, you know, it's like, you know, 90-something percent accurate. They'll tell you that. So sometimes it won't work and your body, you know, the female, anatomy won't react to it the right way and you will release eggs. And you've heard of people being on birth control and, you know, and coming up pregnant, right? Well, what will happen is their body will release eggs, but some birth control that you can buy will have as a redundancy the second method, and that was the last method that I mentioned, where then it will, as a redundancy, it will then create a hostile environment. So a lot of birth control pills, that's what it does. It has this dual method where it will do both, and it'll have the backup just in case it does take place, you know, and then that, of course, is murder. And then, you know, the one that is the least common, the least popular that you can find birth control pills is the one that actually prevents the seed from penetrating the egg. I would assume that that's more difficult to do scientifically. I'm not aware of, you know, how it all works. But the majority of them all contain the last method, whether you are aware of that or not. The majority of them all contain the last method. So for if many, many years that a woman was on birth control pills, she may not have been aware of this, but there were seeds that were penetrating the egg, and that backup method kicked in, and there was conceived life at points that died off. So if you weren't aware of that, you know, stay away from birth control pills. That's one reason why we should stay away from them. Number one is because the conceived seed is life. You know, when the seed has conceived within the egg, that is life. And obviously we disagree with murder according to the Bible. So that's number one why a woman should stay off her birth control pills. Number two is, you know, even if you found a form of it, there of the birth control pills that did not create the hostile environment, but it was just preventing, you know, from fertilizing, or it was just preventing from releasing eggs, it's still terrible for your health. They will tell you, if you read the packaging, that there are chemicals in it that have carcinogens in them, that they cause cancer, right? So it's terrible for your health. It's poison. It's not only poisoning, obviously, this life. It has to kill off life, and you're obviously alive. So what do you think it's doing to your insides? It's obviously not helping you. You know, it's not a controlled environment. So it's obviously hurting you. It's harming you. That's why they tell you to wait after you get off the birth control pill, because it's possible you might have a miscarriage, because your uterus has to reacclimate to its healthy conditions. It takes a little while to get off of that. So it's not good for your health, number two. And then number three, because women will go through these side effects of birth control, oftentimes they, you know, I actually have a very close family member to me that had two or three miscarriages at 2 to 3 months or 3 to 4 months, something later on in their lives, the baby that is. And the reason why was because they were on birth control for probably 10 to 15 years not having any children. They had children when they were very young. A few years went by and they really wanted to have kids. But you know why it was so difficult? They did end up having another baby. But do you know why it was so difficult? Because her body had been, you know, wrecked from her uterus being, you know, being created to be a hostile environment over all this amount of time. So you know what ended up happening? Inadvertently, she, by taking those birth control pills, ended up causing those miscarriages. And this is very common when women are on birth control for many years. They will end up having miscarriages thereafter. Of course, that's a living being. That's what the Bible teaches. Those are, because of this, you know, choice of consuming the birth control pills and getting on this particular method, those are living beings that died because of that. Does that sound like a good choice to make in our lives as Christians? Of course not. So birth control pills, obviously, as Christians, I believe that we should all stay away from them. But this is actually going to be the focus of the sermon. Furthermore, the final reason why the final reason why we as Christians should stay away from any form of birth control, but also contraceptives, is because we as Christians are commanded to be fruitful and multiply. What I'm going to be doing this morning for you is going to be a very different sermon on this subject. And I'm going to show you things that I'm positive you've never seen before. I'm going to be defining for you the phrase, be fruitful and multiply. This is where the disagreement and this is where the argument will come in on. You know, everybody has the questions, how many children should I have? How long should I have the children? I'm going to be showing you from the Bible what the Bible means, number one. What is the definition of be fruitful and multiply? Numerous times. Number two, I'm going to be showing you the purpose of the phrase and the commandment. I'm going to show you why God says be fruitful and multiply. And then I'm going to get to point number three of what I'm going to be doing in the sermon later. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28. So this is where we find the commandment to mankind to be fruitful and multiply. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 28 says this, "And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So we're going to see these points over and over and over again. Number one, what is the purpose of, here from Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, to be fruitful and multiply? It is to replenish the earth. That is the purpose of the commandment that is given to mankind. Now this is going to help us answer the question on how many children should we have? What does the Bible mean? Should I just continually or perpetually be having children? And notice that the purpose of the commandment, it is part and parcel with replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. What does that mean? It means to fill the earth. And I'm going to give you the definition. I know there's been disagreement about, hey, what does replenish mean? And I wish I would have had this. I actually just found this the other day of what the definition of the word replenish is according to the Bible. I want you to look at Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 22 now. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 22 says this, "And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply." Now look at this. "And fill the waters." Do you know what the definition of the word replenish is? It means to fill. Some people say, well, does it mean to refill? And this is actually where people will get their false doctrine of the gap theory, saying that there was a pre-civilization. Well, if we use the Bible to define what the word replenish means, we see the exact same statement that's given to the animals. And what does the word replenish mean? The definition of the word replenish does not mean necessarily to refill. You know, people will get confused by the word re right there. But if we use the law of first mention, according to the Bible, the definition of replenish means to fill. When we see the exact same commandment given. If you look this up in the Noah's Webster's dictionary, they even define it as fill. It does not have to mean to refill or to do again, right? So notice there that replenish means to fill the earth. So what is the purpose when God blesses the animals? When God blesses the animals and he says, hey, be fruitful and multiply, what commandment does he also give with that? Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Now, if I ask you this question, how many children or how much offspring is God telling the animals to have? How often is he telling them to reproduce or to procreate? How many of the offspring does God commanding them to have? Well, what's the objective of the commandment? What's the goal of the commandment in this case? It's obviously to continually bring forth offspring. It's the purpose of the commandment is to fill the earth. It is to replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, or fill the earth. So there we find what is the objective or what is the goal of the commandment when it is originally given, when it is given for the very first time. Now I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 1. So what we're going to be doing is this commandment is given all throughout the Bible. We're going to be walking through the book of Genesis and on into the book of Exodus and also Deuteronomy following this commandment when it's given. Because many people will say, hey, well, that's just a commandment for Adam and Eve. That's not true. That is a commandment that is given to Adam and Eve, but this commandment passes down to mankind and it is repeated to Christians many years later. We're going to look right now, we're going to see in Genesis 9 where God says it to Noah when he gets off the ark. Obviously, it's more relevant when there's no one on the earth. There's nobody here. Of course he's going to say, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, because nobody's here. But it's still relevant even to those that are living later when the earth is becoming more and more populated. The purpose of the commandment is to fill the earth. It's to replenish the earth. The same exact commandment when it's given to the animals is coupled with fill the earth. When the commandment's given to mankind, it's coupled with replenish the earth. Fill the earth is what that means. Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 18 says this, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain.